Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Remembrance Day. Thank you to Dave, Rhonda, Toluani, and Dawn for being part of the service. The scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26. Happy birthday this week to Cody and Brian, and happy anniversary to Rebecca and Chris.
The Bible reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23-26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you.
Remembrance Day is a solemn day. It's an overwhelming day. In Psalm 46, it says that one day God will make wars ceased to the end of the earth. Won't that be wonderful, where there is no more war? God said to Noah, "I will remember my covenant." Remembrance Day. So today, I'm not going to be preaching. Rather, I want to read what many people have written regarding war and their own experiences in war. World War I, World War II, the Vietnam conflict, Ukraine and Russian war, and other wars that are still around the world. And again, Scripture reminds us that one day there will be no more war. There will be no more crying. There'll be no more pain, for the old order of things have passed away. But until then, we honor them. We remember. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the lark still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived. We felt dawn and sunset glow. Loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up your quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. I came across a number of children who wrote articles regarding Remembrance Day. Some are very emotional, if you could put yourself in their shoes. A lady by the name of Sarah Bentley wrote, "My Papa. My papa went to war. He fought on the front line. He was a Regina rifleman. When he left in 1939, my papa went to Germany and France. He had fought in many a battle, but when he came home, he became a farmer and looked after his cattle. I didn't get to know my papa, for which I'm very sorry, because soon he developed cancer and died when I was 4 years old. I never forget my papa, who risked his life for you and me, but this is a time to remember, who went to war and set us free. Some of you watched the hockey game last night. You saw veterans, many of them 100 years of age, and how they fought so that we might be safe. Bethany Scott from Manitoulin Island wrote these words. 92 million people died during World War I and World War II. 92 million casualties. Casualties is a Latin word for accident. Tell me when the word accident ever meant human slaughter. War is very far from being an accident. I read the story this summer which made me understand why we must never forget the horrors of war and the sacrifice made by our soldiers. The story begins with a young soldier who was arriving back home from overseas after the Second World War, where he was serving in the Navy. He ran into a preacher of a small church where he grew up, who asked him what his most memorable moment was during the days of battle. It was a pause, although painful to recall. The soldier began. He was traveling on a huge ship filled with hundreds of young soldiers who were being transported overseas, escorted by a small ship used to fight off any attacks when they came across enemy submarine. A pillar of white smoke spiraled towards the submarine, fired a torpedo. Over the ship's loudspeaker, the captain shouted, "This is it, boys. This is it." Every single life on that boat was lost. The soldier whispered through his tears, "The captain of that ship was my best friend. It is written, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for someone that we don't even know." I hope that we may all understand and not take this freedom for granted every single day of our lives. It becomes clear to me why your blood still stains the battlefields today. And that's why we sing in our national anthem, and I believe it's true, "The True North, Strong and Free." Remarkable words by Bethany Scott from Manitoulin. Here's one. "Dear great-grandpa Fred, although I never met you, I'd just like to thank you for all the dedicated years of service you gave to our country. Thanks to you, we live in a free country. If it wasn't for you and the rest of the soldiers, we probably wouldn't be here today. In memory of you and other veterans, I wrote this little piece of literature for you and other veterans. Will they be remembered or will they be forgotten? Will their bravery and honor just be thought a wonderful favor of the past? Will the future generation not know how we got our freedom? Will they not know to remember him? When are they to be remembered? So when you have a moment in your busy day, take a moment and tell your younger ones of the past veterans, and tell them to their children and their grandchildren too. And maybe in the future, the veterans will be remembered. Dear grandpas, Sherman and Lawrence, I've never had the chance to tell you how much I appreciate all you have done to keep our country and others free of oppression. Although I was young when I listened to your stories, every year I gain a little more wisdom and insight. Grandpa Sherman, you taught me to love through your kindness and gentleness. You always considered me your angel even when covered in marker or doing something wrong. I now understand why you always said the word hate should be removed from our language. Hate brings on the anger of war, whether it's because of race, gender, or even religion. Being the youngest, I would get angry at my sisters being allowed to stay up late. And then you taught me that some sacrifices have to be made. Grandpa Lawrence, you taught me to respect others under your loving guidance. The horror story I remember the most is when you and your young troops were sent back overseas, fresh from boot camp. All of you rode in the back of a truck, chatting with one another amongst yourselves when someone spotted a group of soldiers across the field. The chatter turned to questions of what kind of uniform those men were wearing. Shortly, you learned the uniforms were Germans when the unit started firing on the truck. Several of your young comrades died in that assault. The truck tarp torn to tatters in the short minutes of the barrage. Later, you were severely injured while transporting medicine by motorcycle. I understand why you dislike guns. You had seen so much pain and misery caused by guns in battle. Both of you have taught me to respect our great country. Our country may not be what it was today, is today, if it weren't for your courage. You are both gone now, but your memories, stories, and life's lessons will always be with me. Dear Edna, you were a nurse in the war. You helped heal the sick and sore. You didn't fight with a gun or a sword, but you healed with the gentle hands like the Lord. You were a lady of pride. You spread your smile worldwide. When I went to visit with you, you would talk about school and concerts too. You were always happy day and night. You helped with the elders even though you weren't in white. And when you died one day last year, everyone was glum and there were tears. So on November 11th, Remembrance Day, I will remember your tribute to me that day. People like you make me proud of being a Canadian. You are not afraid to stand up for what you believe in. Precious words from a young child. My thoughts on Remembrance Day. The torch has been passed to my generation, and I'm proud to belong to this peaceful nation. For the youth who enlisted and answered the call, for those who came home, and for those who would fall. For the airmen that flew on the thundering breeze, for the sailors who battled the high crashing seas. For the soldiers who fought on the blood-soaked land, for those who left home and who all took a stand. For the mothers who lost a precious dear son. For the wives and the girlfriends who prayed through their tears. For that generation who are grandparents now, I will never forget. And this I vow. Your brave deeds won't die. I will always remember proudly wearing a poppy each 11th of November. Tawny McCulloch from McLean Public School called Shipping Out. She watched as he straightened his tie. A lonely tear glistens on her cheek. The smile is forced, the orders received. He's shipping out before the end of the day. Shoes polished, buttons gleaming, pants pressed smartly, cap adjusted to the proper angle. His smile is real, excitement pulses. He's going overseas, leaving the country. She hugs him and kisses his lips softly, squeezes him tight, not letting him go. Feeble attempts, doorknob turning. She tries to be strong as he walks out the door. He bravely marches out to the curb, turns and waves at her in the door, imprints the scene, his mind a sponge. Boldly he goes forth and joins the men waiting. Months pass, bravely a word of news, radio announces, terrible descriptions, doorbell rings, a messenger awaits. Ripped envelope, crumpled form, a piercing scream. Who is she? She's a mother. She's a wife. She's a daughter. She's a sister. He is father, husband, son, and brother. Written by 11-year-old. You can't see the picture. But here is an elderly person, and he's walking with his great-grandchild. And she asks him, "Grandpa, if remembering war is so hard, why do you do it?" And he said, "Because forgetting is much harder. Never forget. Never forget." Almost 10% of Canada's entire population, 7 million people, served in the Foreign Forces. This is in the first part of war. 7 million served in the armed forces. World War II, more than 120 Canadian warships participated in the Normandy landings. Canada participated in those landings, along with the largest navy, the fourth largest air force in the world. 1% of the world's population has provided 10% of the world's peacekeeping forces. Canadian soldiers in the past half century have been wonderful peacekeepers. 39 missions on the UN mandates, 6 on the UN peacekeeping duties, from Vietnam, Bosnia, and others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I am the sailor who lived overseas. I fought for Canada and all to be free. I'm the soldier who stood proud and tall. I fought for peace and freedom for all. I'm the doctor who treated the brave. I helped those in need. Lives I tried to save. I am the nurse who tried not to cry as I watched good soldiers lie in bed and die. I'm the pilot who fought for you. I flew for your freedom and those after you. I am the child that thinks of the sailor, soldier, nurse, pilot, and doctor. I think of all you've given me, and without you, I might not be. So every cold, gray November, I think of you, and in a way, I can say I remember. So pushing ahead quickly in time, in the 1960s, there was Vietnam conflict and so forth and so on. And there was a song, anti-war song, written by Barry McGuire. He wrote these words. It was an anti-Vietnam war song called "Eve of Destruction." And it was harsh and it was strong. Some people didn't want to hear that song. Other people loved this song. Here are his lyrics. "The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over again, my friend, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yeah, his blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth. It knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation. And Marxists alone can't bring interrogation. When human respect is disintegrating, the whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. And you tell me over and over and over again how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Well, I don't think we're on the eve of destruction, but some of these very emotional words that have been written are powerful words, that the world is always an angst on occasion. And even though this wasn't a very happy sermon, I'd like to finish with something that is a promise from God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to us, a promise. And what God promises, it's fulfilled. And when Jesus promises, it's fulfilled. And when the Holy Spirit promises, it is fulfilled. It is written in a wonderful revelation remembrance. Listen to these beautiful words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any ferocious sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with us, and he will live with us." And then these beautiful words, the promise of God: there will be no more death, no more pain, no more crying, for the old order of things has passed away. And God said, "I am making everything new." And his words are trustworthy and true. And then he finishes with, "We who overcome will inherit all of this." We are so grateful for people who gave their lives for us, and that one day loved ones could be a mother, could be a father, could be a husband, could be a wife, could be from relatives of long past, we will see each other again. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission. All rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in Today's English Version, 2nd edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society. Used by permission. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.